This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I get asked all the time what I would take if I could only take one supplement. The answer is invariably Athletic Greens. I view it as all-in-one nutritional insurance. I recommended it, in fact, in the 4-Hour Body. This is more than 10 years ago, and I did not get paid to do so. With approximately 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, you'd be very hard-pressed to find a more nutrient-dense and comprehensive formula on the market. It has multivitamins, multi-mineral greens complex, probiotics and prebiotics for gut health, an immunity formula, digestive enzymes, adaptogens, and much more. I usually take it once or twice a day just to make sure I've covered my bases if I missed anything I'm not aware of. Of course, I focus on nutrient-dense meals to begin with. That's the basis. But Athletic Greens makes it easy to get a lot of nutrition when whole foods aren't readily available. From travel packets, I always have them in my bag when I'm zipping around. Right now, Athletic Greens is giving my audience a special offer on top of their all-in-one formula, which is a free vitamin D supplement and 5 free travel packs with your first subscription purchase. Many of us are deficient in vitamin D. I've found that true for myself, which is usually produced in our bodies from sun exposure. So adding a vitamin D supplement to your daily routine is a great option for additional immune support. Support your immunity, gut health, and energy by visiting athleticgreens.com/TFS. You'll receive up to a year's supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your subscription. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/TFS, as in Tim Ferriss Show. athleticgreens.com/TFS.
The Work Lab podcast from Microsoft answers the questions that keep business leaders up at night. Like, how can I reinvent processes for the AI era, from customer service to sales to HR? How can I prepare for AI to fundamentally transform jobs, companies, industries, and the whole economy? Don't panic, tune in. Each episode of Work Lab brings you the top experts, hard data, and actionable insights to help you future-proof your organization. Check out Work Lab, that's WORKLAB, no spaces, on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to another edition of the Tim Ferriss Show. This is Tim Ferriss speaking. I am at JFK, and I am partially whispering so I don't get punched in the face by everyone sitting around me. I'm en route to Italy. I am super stoked. I haven't been there in ages. Ho dimenticato tutto of my Italian, but that's okay. I will improvise. This is a short audio essay, what I've been calling the in-between-isodes, and I'm borrowing that term. In this case, it is from a presentation that I gave, which many of you have not heard, from Google I.O. That was the event, and I'm calling it The Power of Negative Visualization. So we always hear about positive visualization, positive thinking. I think it happens to be overrated, and certainly from a pragmatic standpoint, there are times when you have to practice pessimism, very strategic, tactical pessimism to get what you want and avoid what you don't want. As always, you can find all of these episodes on iTunes or at 4hourworkweek.com/podcast. And if you enjoy these episodes, both the short ones and the longer 1 to 2 hour episodes, please support it by going to 4hourworkweek.com/podcast. Actually, I misspoke, but I have to catch my flight, so I'll do it again. 4hourworkweek.com/books. All right? 4hourworkweek.com/books. And that is where you will find the Tim Ferriss Book Club, books that have impacted my life greatly, which I link to then on Amazon, on Audible. Typically one per month. There are 4 or 5 up right now. Check them out. And without further ado, I hope you enjoy this very, very short episode. Thanks for listening. All right, so this is a photograph of Las Leñas in Argentina, where I went skiing with 2 close friends, one of whom recently died of pancreatic cancer. He was in his early 30s. The same day, I received an email notifying me that the 10-year-old daughter of a close friend had been diagnosed with inoperable cancer. And this was very recent, and this produced a profound sense of urgency in me to do bigger and better things in my life and to test new directions before some undefined point in the future. So I want to talk about the most effective pair of productivity techniques that I've come across since 2004 that have helped me up to this point test the uncommon despite the fear of ridicule, criticism, failure, and so forth. And both techniques, I cheated a bit with the format. Some things will repeat.
are borrowed from Stoicism, which was a school of philosophy from the Hellenistic period used by a lot of the Greco-Roman educated elite, including emperors and military and statesmen. The first is called negative visualization, and it's all related to the basic assumption that defining your fears instead of your goals is a key to doing anything uncommon, anything big. Negative visualization is what I would call preparation in practical pessimism, and that is defining in excruciating detail the worst-case scenarios. So as an anecdote, in 2004, I was working 14 hours a day in my own company, trapped in a beast of my own design, and knew that I had to take a 2 to 4 week retreat to either streamline the business and extricate myself or shut it down because there were issues with exit options. I didn't do that for 6 months because I was running an endless loop of what-if scenarios. What if I missed a notification from the IRS? What if we lost the biggest customer we have and therefore had problems A, B, and C? Problem is those fears weren't actionable, just like poorly defined goals aren't actionable. Then I came across the writings of Seneca, Lucius Seneca, who was an advisor to the emperor in his day in Rome, also what you might consider the most successful investment banker and playwright at the time in Rome. And I performed an exercise that he suggested, which was taking out a piece of paper, in my case, an 8.5 by 11 sheet one evening, and detailing in the first column all of the terrible things, the worst case scenarios that could happen if I did what I was considering, which was this retreat. For you, it might be a change of job, it might be proposing a new project, it might be ending a relationship, it could be any number of things. All of the negative things that could happen. Second column, all of the things that I could do to minimize the likelihood of those things happening. And then the last column were all of the line-by-line actions I could take to get back to where I was then, to re-achieve the status quo, so to speak, maybe getting back into the industry that you would leave to start your own startup, whatever that might be. And in that instant, I saw that on a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being most impactful, I was looking at a unlikely transient pain of about 2 and a potential life-changing permanent change of 10. And I took the trip. I took the trip, and that's why the book happened. That's why the World Championships in Tango happened. Everything that brought me to stand here today, I can trace back to that one evening, that one exercise. So let's move to practice. The second piece, the second technique, is rehearsing the worst-case scenarios. Seneca would put it thus: set aside a number of days each month where you are satisfied with the cheapest and scantiest of fare, meaning food, the roughest of dress, all the while asking yourself, is this the condition I feared? What you're doing is exposing yourself to negative emotions like fear, embarrassment, lack of finances, so that you're inoculated when you later have to make hard decisions, ask for hard things, or reject, refuse things, so that you can act despite these emotions. Cato, who was viewed as Seneca as the perfect Stoic, wore darker clothing than his expected light purple, didn't go with a tunic. He was very out of style in his day. And he did so that he would learn to be ashamed of only the things that were truly shameful and to ignore the millions of things that men would otherwise have low opinions of. So it's very important that you practice your worst-case scenario. And what you'll find is that many of the fears you have are based on undervaluing the things that are easily obtainable. So those are two techniques that have resulted in the greatest gains, all of the uncommon, all of the big things I've been able to do. And I would encourage you, before trying to define your goals, to focus on defining your fears. Thank you very much.